looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light. Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster.
Oh?
Up, down, up, down. Oh, what a ride.
What a great story.
I always wanted to go again. You know, it was just interesting to me that a ride could make me so frightened, so scared, so sick, so excited, and so thrilled all together. Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes around. Nothing. I like the roller coaster. You get more out of it.
Amen and hallelujah. Probably my favorite soundbite from that entire movie, Barb. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Welcome, everybody. We're in the studio. Polarity and Kids, Part 2. So, we are dealing with a little Mercury retrograde stuff, so my darling producer Barb Perry is going to be wrangling the phone lines today, and I've got some fabulous women with me on the line and in the studio today to talk about this subject. Same crew that we had last week. It's going to be fun, fun, fun. So, going to start with my little usual shenanigans, talking about business stuff. We're not going to go to the phone lines today because we got the phone lines full, actually. So next week, we're going to be going back to taking callers. So for now, just tune in, settle back, and pay attention. I want you to go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. On the right side, you can click on iTunes to subscribe to this show. That gives us an idea who all's listening to, so that's a pretty cool way to go. You can also rate this show. That's pretty fun for me to get the feedback. You can access the show archives on iTunes. You can also access the archives, the past shows, on my website, Michelle Morgan. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. On the media page, there's a link you can click on that'll take you straight into a site to the archives. If there's a topic you'd like me to cover on the show, I would love to hear from you. So send me an email. You can just email me straight off my website or shoot me a message on my Facebook fan page, which is another cool way to connect with me. We're doing a lot of really great discussions on that page, and it's just a fun way for me to connect with fans and people who are listening. And if you love the music on this show, who doesn't? Because Barbalicious does such an amazing job. Go to iTunes and download the songs, and I will always list them on my fan page so you know what we've been listening to. And the soundbite thing, I'm just digging that. And honestly, that literally, Barb, that whole quote from Grandma, the story about the roller coaster, is my favorite quote from that entire film. It's awesome. Yeah. Very, very well done. Thank you, darling. Appreciate it. So, again, we're talking polarity in kids, raising children with right polarity. And we had just some awesome discussion last week, some great questions. There were some questions that were raised last week that I didn't get a chance to get to, so I'm going to touch on a few things before we pull the girls on. Couple times we mentioned in the show last week about the CSI program. CSI program is a program that I developed. It's a NLP-based process where we actually dismantle the old neuropathways in your brain and create new ones calibrated to the outcomes you desire, and give the parts of your psyche a brand new job. Past shows, we've talked a lot about belief systems, patterns, family legacy, and the parts, subpersonalities of the human psyche. CSI process is all about healing what doesn't serve you, empowering what does, and just giving you the ability to truly create the kind of life you want. Re-educating and reprogramming belief systems is a pretty amazing process. And one of the best things about it is that the change is permanent and it's immediate. So it's not like an exercise program where, you know, 12 weeks into it, you finally start feeling the results. It's pretty good stuff. So you want any more information on that? Go to my website, michellemorgan.org. And on the facts, frequently asked question page, there's a lot of information on the CSI program as well as the offerings page. So we also talked last week about, you know, some of the basics of polarity in respect to children. And just something that I wanted to reiterate a little bit was, again, that polarity is instinctual. It's literally instinctual in everyone. We're hardwired to it, no matter what our programming is, no matter what our belief systems are, no matter how twisted we are from our family of origin experiences, the programming we get from our culture, etc. And culturally speaking, polarity is pretty much reversed, almost without exception. Which is not a good thing. And so one of the things to really help boys understand is that they've been hardwired by God to be the hero. And I mean that in a very epic stand. And interestingly enough, helping a child understand that, helping a masculine child understand that he has been hardwired to be the hero, actually sparks the natural masculine ego. And that's a really good thing. And you want to help those boys understand that with that hero status comes really great responsibility. And that's where it can get a little challenging because, you know, typically kids don't like responsibility. But you can teach that in a way where it's, again, it's a fun, instinctual, and empowering thing for them. It's not like, you know, telling them that they're responsible for taking out the garbage. They're responsible for creating safety in the world, which is a pretty big deal. And the true warrior just shows up. There's a great story about feudal Japan. These warriors would ride down into the villages that they wanted to possess, and they would get off their horses, and they would stand on the ground, feet planted, arms folded on their chests. They wouldn't say a word. Their weapons would be still on their horses. They wouldn't touch a thing. And within 10 to 15 minutes, the entire village would have surrendered. Why? Because the true warrior just shows up. It's an energy thing. It's truly by virtue of someone's energy that other people respond. Now, that may be a story about war, true. However, the philosophy is the same. If you walk in the world with a truly heroic nature and an understanding of who you are, people are going to respond in kind to that. It's pretty powerful stuff. And you don't have to become brutal and wagging a lot of polarity stance. You get to be truer from the core. Girls need to understand that they've been hardwired by God to be magical. I'm not kidding you. Intuition and emotion are non-corporeal powers that defy logical rules and will guarantee that you can accomplish and create anything. And the feminine is truly hardwired on an emotional and intuitive level. Phenomenal power. So for the feminine, she gets a chance to be the muse, gets a chance to be the inspiration, gets a chance to be powerful in her own right, and that looks different than masculine power, and it should look different than masculine power, just as for the masculine, they should look different than the feminine. That's the way it's supposed to be. The equality things turned into sameness, and that's been the death of a lot of positive and important qualities in this culture. One of the other questions that was raised was, how do you create safety for your kids? You know, how do you create a sense of safety so that they can start to act out of their core? And we talked about the fact that the masculine is 80% responsible for creating right polarity, creating that safety so that the feminine can truly open up and express her nature. So here's the thing about kids. They're psychic sponges. They pick up on the energy of their world, particularly the adults around them. That's that whole pack mentality. And the feminine's going to feel unsafe if situation isn't right or if the polarity's not right. And the masculine's going to feel agitated. Both of those are expressions of powerlessness. But both boys and girls, both masculine and feminine beings, will express that in a polarity-appropriate fashion. Or they'll express it in a shadow fashion. And we've talked about that too. Core begets core. Shadow begets shadow. So the most important thing you can do as a parent, truly the most important thing that you can do as a parent, is have your polarity as close to perfect as you can possibly do it. And that way, We're getting a weird echo.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. The Mercury retrograde thing and sun flares? Why are we echoing? Barb says she has no idea, so we're going to keep on going. So, you're going to get me twice here. If you're not catching me on the first go-around, you're going to get me the second go-around. There we go, darling. So, the whole polarity thing, you got to set it up in your world first. That's the only way kids are going to learn it. They're going to learn it by example. They're going to learn it by energy. You got to set that up first. For the single parents out there, you know, that could be a challenge. And we talked at length last program about that very thing. If you're married, since we were talking mostly to the girls, your husband really needs to get in line with polarity. And you need to trust him to be the provider and protector. You got to set that up energetically. If you've got issues with that, if you don't have that level of trust with him, you can't then create right polarity for your children. It has to begin at the foundation of the family. And so much of this, the majority of this is energy and intent. It really is. You need to hold the higher vision of your men so that they will live up to the hero. Remember, ladies, the muse inspires energetically and spiritually. So holding that higher vision is crucial, and then gives you an opportunity to work on whatever needs to be worked on in the relationship so that you can get everybody in line with right polarity. So there's some few things covered there that we were touched on last time. So we're going to go ahead and bring everybody in. Barb, you ready for that? She says, I don't know, but we'll give it a shot. So I have in the studio with me, I have Becky.
Hello.
Hey, Beck. How are you, hon?
Good.
Good, good. And we have Angie. Angie, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. She's on the phone lines. We have Liz on the phones. Liz. Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, honey. And let's see if Sammy's there. Sammy, are you there? Sammy.
Am I here?
Hi, babe. Yay.
Hello. Yay. Okay.
High fives all around. Barb is like, you know, practically passing out in relief because we've got it. We've got it sussed for now. So, ladies, hit me. What are some other questions that you're bringing today? Anybody, jump on in there.
All right, I'll start. This is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
I wanted to follow up on something that we sort of touched on last week regarding the polaritudinal relationship between mothers and sons.
Yes.
And fathers and daughters.
Yes.
And if you could go into that a little bit more, that would be fabulous.
You betcha. And you had actually worded that in a really good way. You'd asked if it was even appropriate, right?
Yes.
Or even, you know, if it was even possible or appropriate to have a polarity correct relationship between a mother and son, father and daughter. Absolutely. It's in fact, it's essential. And here's how that needs to look. So this is a dicey subject because of a lot of issues over the years and a lot of societal rules and belief systems. But the truth is, from a polarity standpoint, and again, I'm always talking about polarity as instinctual, there's a natural sexual tension between a mother and a son and a father and a daughter. And when I say sexual, I don't mean full-blown, acted-on sexuality. I mean a polarity response. There's an attraction. There's a level of intimacy. And there is a level of passion that is created in that dynamic. And that is natural. It's healthy. It's necessary. In a perfect world, and I am seriously going to suspend reality for a second here because I don't want to get in an argument about the truth of the world at this point. In a perfect world, a father is the first experience that a daughter has of a true hero. He's the first place that she feels herself as a woman. And she gets the physical sensations, the emotional sensations, the spiritual sensations of being loved, adored, feeling beautiful, feeling sensual, all of those things. In a perfect world, that's a natural energy. And the father's energy is that he, on some level, loves his daughter as a woman, as the divine feminine, wants to create that sense of safety and beauty for her. That's a natural, normal, and very healthy energy. And it's horrifically missing in our culture and in the world. Don't even get me up on the flaming soapbox about that subject. Conversely, for mothers and sons, it's a similar energy. But here's how that can look. The masculine, it's typically where the masculine, the son, has those feelings towards the mother. Because the masculine is that heroic leader, if you will, in the sense of polarity. When I talk about masculine's responsible for 80% of creating right polarity, that is because the feminine can only express her truth if she's completely safe, relaxed, and open. So that whole Oedipus complex thing that you know, we've played with in our culture and have such issues about, that's a skewed version of this. That is, the son loves his mother as the divine feminine, as the queen. He is going to have a sense of himself as a man, which has a sexual component to it, towards the mother. And it's territorial. It's the son wanting to protect the mother, all of those things. And so those are energies that need to be consciously understood, appreciated, honored, respected, and used very appropriately. And no, we don't have that set up in this culture remotely. So people really struggle with that stuff. So in a more direct response, Liz, to your question, you as the mother, you get a chance to, again, hold that higher vision of your son. Hold that higher vision of the man that is in him. How old is your kiddo?
He's 10.
10. So he's 10 years old. And you know what? Manhood is literally around the corner for him. And in other cultures, when he would hit 12 or 13, he would go out on a vision quest. He would go out on a quest out into the wilderness, armed with almost nothing, and need to spend time in the wilderness by himself, fasting and trying to survive and learning how to do that. There's a particular cultural icon called the Shaman's Death, where they would send an initiate, a boy, out into the wilderness. He would have to dig his own grave and lie in it overnight. And imagine the psychological ramifications of that in our world, because people are, you know, don't understand these things. And he would emerge the next morning, literally reborn, and probably in our culture deemed crazy, because he would have transcended a whole lot of human fears and come into a much more spiritual understanding of himself. And he might not, you know, have a particularly quote unquote normal viewpoint after that. We don't have any initiation rites in this culture. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. We just don't, we do not have any of those. And so you as parents, it's essential for you to create those. It's absolutely essential for you to create some sort of an initiation process for both your sons and daughters. And we'll talk about the daughter thing here in a minute. But for you as a mother with a boy, you get a chance to hold that vision of him as the hero, treat him as such, honor the fact that he is instinctively going to want to protect you, and help him do that in a way that's appropriate, that's age appropriate, that's energetically appropriate, that does not put the responsibility of you on his shoulders, because you still are the parent, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's about, again, it's not just telling your kids to do their chores. It's helping them understand why they're doing them. It's helping them understand the bigger picture of being the hero and how that serves the kingdom, if you will. Make it a game. We talked about that last time a lot. Make it a game. Children are natural role players. That is something that needs to be responded to and used as a phenomenal power tool. That's not by accident that children have, you know, vivid and wild imaginations and can put themselves in those situations. And I think, I touched on this a little bit last time, I think the whole, you know, advent of video games and these children that lock themselves in their bedroom and do nothing but play video games, I think it's because we're missing a natural aspect of the imagination in our educational systems. In the way we raise our children, we a lot of times don't honor their imagination. We tell them, you know, stop daydreaming, stop fantasizing, you have work to do, whatever that is. Right. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Yes.
So that's part of this, part of the way that you can help to create that polaritudinally correct relationship. And you know what the most important thing is? The single most important thing that you can do? understand that that relationship exists on an energetic level. Understand that it's there naturally. If you walk in the world knowing that, you're going to act accordingly. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, it's just the same thing. If we know that God exists, if we're really in that mindset and we're really trusting in God and we're developing that instinctual relationship with God, then we walk in the world differently, don't we?
Yes.
You bet. And things happen in our world differently, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what makes this easy. Here's the thing. This is a combination of a intellectual process, because you got to have the awareness, because the bottom line is nobody's taught this stuff in this culture. It's terrifying to me. Nobody's taught this stuff. So we don't have an intellectual structure around this. All we've got is instinctual structure, and we got to be in contact with that instinctual structure. So that's the way to go after that. And then if you get confused, if you question it, who are you going to call?
God.
God.
And
you.
Amen. Yes, and me. Yeah, you can call me. You can call me second, but I want you to call God first, and he'll tell you to call me or not.
Yeah,
is how
exactly.
That works. So honestly, you get God involved in this, and you will be guided in ways that you can't even imagine at this point. And just trust that your kids have this in them. You don't have to try and make them do this. You can invite them. And that's the other key. As a woman, it's invitation. The feminine invites. The masculine commands. Yes, feminists out there who are getting all ruffly, that's the truth. That is just the energetic truth. Doesn't mean that the invitation is always soft and squishy, but it comes from a different place than the command. So that's the way to handle that. Great question, Liz. Seriously. Awesome freaking question.
You.
Love it. So, Becky, you had some stuff, baby girl.
Yeah, when I went home last week, I tried to apply some of these ideas to my kids and had them draw a picture of their hero and write all the details, which was very fun. And then I had this idea that I was going to write my own story about this polarity and how to explain it to them. And I realized I didn't quite understand it. And the big part I didn't understand mostly was who is a modern day hero, because I have an idea of the Superman and And then also who was a modern day heroine.
Okay.
And I think that one was even more
difficult.
Fuzzy.
You bet.
My image.
Absolutely. And those are just phenomenal questions. So the key to this is, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of modern day heroes. It's just the truth. And I'm not saying there isn't anybody out there. I'm just saying that we don't have a lot of modern day heroes. So the key to it is starting with that mythological sense of a hero. And superheroes are a great way to start. Again, we talked last time about folk tales, fairy tales, those types of things. Those icons, those archetypes exist cross-culturally and across every conceivable time frame of mankind, basically, for a reason. Those archetypes are eternal. So you start with those, and then what you do is you get your kids, or even yourself, you start to choose out of people you know different qualities of the hero. Different qualities of the heroine. For the masculine, and again, I'm talking really specifically polarity. The masculine is very one-pointed, very single-focused, okay? Feminine is all over the place. Feminine's the weather, masculine's the rock. Those are two phenomenal images. David Data uses those in his writing all the time, and they're really brilliant archetypes. The rock is someone who's, you know, not inflexible, but doesn't move, doesn't waver off of his purpose, okay? So it's a real singular mindset. The feminine is multitasking to the extreme. Amen. We're wired for that. It's fabulous. In our culture, of course, let's not even get started on how that's gotten all twisted. But the point I'm making is, for the masculine icon of the hero, it is really powerful and natural to pick a vision from a mythological standpoint or a, you know, superhero standpoint, and then add to that pieces that you see in the real world. And that's a great way to engage your kids in starting to see this stuff too. You know, what do you notice that's heroic about that person? What do you notice that's not heroic about that person? Help them start to see the differences. It's crazy. And ladies, I want to hear a resounding answer from all of you on this one. Once you know polarity, would you agree with me that you see it everywhere? You can't not see it. True?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. It's crazy almost, isn't it? You literally just become almost obsessed because you see it everywhere. Well, that's because it's real and it's instinctual, and it is everywhere. So you help your kids start to define that. Now, the feminine heroine, the goddess has many faces. So I always tell people, for the masculine, pick the hero. Pick the singular lone wolf hero, okay? Because that fits the masculine thing, too. That's the whole ego point of the masculine. Do it myself. I'm the power, etc. And that's a good thing if it's nurtured appropriately. For the feminine, she's very much organizational, and she's very much community-minded. So she gets a sisterhood. She gets a tribe. And you get to pick a lot of different icons. For instance, my quote-unquote collective icon of the feminine includes Grace Kelly, Mae West, Stevie Nicks, and Princess Diana. Cyndi Lauper's in there, too, sometimes. And that is this culmination. There are qualities in those women that I find incredibly appealing. There's magic. There's emotion. There's grace. There's beauty. There's, you know, chutzpah, big time, personified in that. And there is that sense of invitation. There's that sense of mischievous invitation, seduction even, of the feminine. That's really powerful. But it needs to come from more of a collective sense, because the feminine is multifaceted. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, she says with a little hesitation. Fill me in on any questions you still have about that.
I think I'm just learning all about the polarity. And
you
so
bet.
I feel like I have to sit with it a little bit to really process it.
Absolutely. And remember that there are basic, and boy, I'll tell you what, go back to the archives and listen to the show on masculine polarity and then the show on feminine polarity to get the clarity on what exactly are those qualities of masculine and feminine. That's important to start with. You got to have that foundation, because that's the instinctual piece of it. That's the yin-yang piece of it that you get to build on.
And I guess is there one, since God is the ultimate masculine, there an ultimate feminine?
The goddess, if you want to say it that way. But there's a lot of goddesses. There's a lot of gods, but they're not God. The demigods or the lesser gods. And now we're talking, you know, paganism here. Hallelujah. But God as the masculine is that all-powerful energy. And the goddess, because she is multifaceted, because she's an expression of love, she's going to come from all different places. And that is that yin-yang thing. And believe me, we could argue upside down and sideways the inequality in that. Oh, amen. It's not equal. And yet, from a power standpoint, it's absolutely equal. Because God can't be seen unless the feminine expresses the love. God, conversely, can't be seen through the masculine unless the men are stepping up to the plate and creating that heroic standpoint. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So again, think in terms of feminine is multifaceted, masculine is much more singular in nature. That is not a bad thing. That is instinctual.
And is it also sort of the 80% of the masculine showing up? And
absolutely. Okay. You betcha. Absolutely.
I'm getting it.
You will get it. Well, and it does take time. It absolutely takes time, because what happens is our cultural programming, our belief systems, our family legacies, all of that are going to mask our instinct. That's just how it works. So, and the whole point, I believe, of this journey in this lifetime in particular is to weed through all of that crap on the top that doesn't really serve you, and find that instinctual truth, find that core, and start to live from that place. And, you know, the other challenge, too, for all of you and everybody listening, this is really complicated stuff. This is supremely complex stuff. I could talk for a year about this subject and still not cover all of it. I am not exaggerating. So we're trying to sort of nutshell it to make it simple, a place to start, but there's a whole lot of stuff to it. So it's fascinating when, you know, we do start to talk about this and people start to get really uncomfortable because it seems so unfair, or it seems so one-sided, or it seems so, you know, old-fashioned or whatever. Yeah, it is all of those things if you want to look at it through our current modern cultural programming. So my answer to that is our modern cultural programming working? Do we have a world that is the kind of world that we want to raise our children in? I don't. I can't believe what we've got going on in this world. I can't believe what these children are going to be left with because of the wrongness of everything over the centuries. And it's, I mean, this didn't happen recently. This started a long time ago. So, you know, if it ain't working, I say try something new. And try something new that's in fact ancient and instinctual. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to turn some things over to Sammy and Angie. I want to hear from you two darling girls. Liz, Becky, thank you. Barb, you're doing a great job over there, darling. You're sweating bullets, I can tell. Just relax. We'll be back. This is Living on a Prayer. You're listening to Michelle Morgan.
Or an engineer. And every place that you can go.
Like a state
or a home. And anything that you can show.
Like animals and plants or a train.
You know their nouns. You know their nouns. Oh, Mrs. Jones is a lady on Hudson Street. She sent her dog to bark at my brother and me. We gave her dog a big fat bone, and now he barks at Mrs. Jones. She's a lady who lives on Hudson Street.
Dissatisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Living on a Prayer. I'm Michelle Morgan, and I feel like I'm on the set of Barney. That was a great little ditty there, Barbie. Good stuff, good stuff. So we are talking kids and polarity, parenthood and polarity. What the heck is polarity, and how do you do it? All of those great things. We've got Angie on the phone line. She was in the studio with us last week. She's now in the studio via the phone, and she's got some great questions. Ange, honey, talk to me.
Yes, hi.
Hi, baby.
So I've become really good at commanding my children, and I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to figure out the whole inviting thing and how that works, because that I'm not so good at.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I have a little six-year-old boy, and in his kindergarten class, he really likes to be the center of attention. He likes to make all the other kids laugh, and he likes to, you know, talk out of turn,
right,
and this sort of thing. And so his teacher has talked to me about this several times, and I'm just wondering, I mean, how do I invite him to, I'm not even sure, like, what to say to him and how to word it. And
right, right, you bet. That is a great, great question. And it's, again, a multifaceted question. So I'm going to try to simplify it a little bit, but just know that there are other components to this. So I will do the best I can here in the time we have. So the key to the invitation, and I am not exaggerating, it's not that this stuff isn't behavioral, because it is. There are things that you can, quote unquote, do, specifically do, to create right polarity. But the most important thing is the energy behind it, the intention behind it. You have to be, first and foremost, fully in your feminine, nature. So you're going to have to be practicing being in the world in your true feminine core at all times, because it's not something, if we're used to being in our shadow, which most of us women are, because of the way the culture is programmed, then it's really challenging to flip the switch and just turn into the feminine, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard thing to do. So I want you to imagine, first of all, that you are wearing 250 pounds of armor, because that's pretty much when the knights of old jousted or were into tournaments or into battle, their armor weighed upwards 250 pounds. Not particularly graceful, is it? And tiring, and it makes you sort of, you know, clonk along and run into things and just pound on people. So energetically speaking, that... And here's the thing to know, commanding is not such a bad thing, but demanding is. And if a feminine being is not in a place of true core feminine energy, and she's not inviting, then she's very likely demanding as opposed to commanding. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, definitely. Because the shadow is going to flip you over to the negative, quote unquote, side and the more dramatic side. So the invitation begins with you being fully in your feminine, and you want to find out what's true for your kidlet. You know, what's true for him that he needs the attention? What is he not getting? And so there's, you know, you're going to want to figure that out. You're going to want to investigate that a little bit through talking to him, through talking to his teachers, through trusting your feminine intuition as a mother. You're going to know better than anybody. And you got to trust your instincts on this. And the challenge with parenthood is that our instincts can oftentimes tell us that we are not doing something that is necessary for our children. And what's the first place we're going to go with that? Guilt.
Yes.
Yeah, guilt, fear, you know. Yeah, all of that stuff. And that's not going to serve you either. That's not going to keep you in your feminine. So this is the time that you recognize there's an issue. There's an obvious issue here. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely.
It might not be a huge life-threatening issue, but it's an issue. You know, you got teachers talking to you about it. It's an issue. So you get a chance to just own that. Own that there's something going on, that your son is not being seen in a certain way. He's not expressing himself in his best fashion. He's just not. Because it's interesting. The masculine, true masculine, does not need anything. They don't have needs. They have desires. They have purpose and they have focus. Need is actually shadow for the masculine. When a man or a masculine being is needy, he starts doing things like trying to get attention, not doing things that are in the collective best interest, etc. Okay? So there's something going on for your six-year-old, and some of it is he's six, and some of it is it's just the way the world is operating right now. So he's, you know, he's in a similar mode that I guarantee you a ton of other kids are. So you get a chance to figure out through talking, through intuition, through prayer, what's the truth? What's going on for your kidlet? And then you get a chance to start to set some things up for him in your home space so that he can be seen in the way that he needs to be seen. It's possible that he is not feeling like he's got enough purpose, like he's got enough of a task that he's been charged with. And that's instinctual. Do you know what I'm saying? And again,
yeah.
Not even he doesn't have enough chores to do. He's not, maybe he hasn't been asked energetically or otherwise to be the provider protector. He's the older brother, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So... Go ahead.
I mean, in terms of his younger brother, he definitely plays that role well.
You bet. You bet.
But with adults, it's different.
You bet. And so part of what to teach a child, a masculine child, is the whole respect piece. Respect is paramount to the masculine. And respect begets respect. If he wants to be respected and seen, then he's going to need to do things in a way that... As weird as this sounds, you guys, this is a little bit about teaching your kids to play by the current rules. Do you know what I'm saying? Because this is the world we live in. It just is. It's like, you know, if somebody's a true hero, they're not going to go, well, you know what? I'm a hero. I'm powerful. So I don't need to play by the rules. So I'm going to drive 150 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. And if a cop pulls me over, I'm just going to blow him off. you know, rules are rules. We live in a society that has specific rules. So cultural rules still reign supreme, even if we don't agree with them, and even if they are in many ways not supportive of the core polarity. But here's the best thing of all about polarity. It's just like working with God. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It doesn't matter what's happening in your external reality. It all starts on an internal basis. And so you can help develop that hero in your son so that he can, quote unquote, play by the rules and not lose himself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to do that is to help him understand that a true hero does play by the rules. He's respectful of the rules. Even if he doesn't agree with them, he can know that he doesn't agree. Right now, I don't agree with what this teacher is saying, but this teacher is in that position of authority. I am going to respect that teacher, and then I am going to sit back and I'm going to trust that when I grow up, I'm not going to do things like that. And I'm going to behave differently in the world when I'm not around this teacher. That's how you find that balance, because the bottom line is we can't go marching into these, you know, into any situation and completely change the rules. That doesn't even make sense. So you help your children learn what is right and true for them. And the way to do that is to get them connected to that true nature. And the hero is the true nature. So the invitation comes from you, again, instinctively figuring this stuff out, what's going on with your kidlet, and then you get to present things to him from that feminine standpoint. And most of it, Ange, honestly, most of it's energetic. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gives me a really good place to start with it, because I was feeling floundering with it.
You bet. So I want you to think of a specific situation where you have commanded your kids in the past. Can you think of something specific, just something small, where you've had to be commanding?
Oh, yes. Trying to get their shoes and coats on.
Okay.
So they can get out the door.
Okay, perfect. That's a brilliant example. So I want you to think about the way you've been doing it, that commanding way you've been doing it. And then I want you to imagine going into that same situation and just go in your head with this and do it quick. Imagine that you're fully in your feminine. Imagine that you're plugged into God. God's the ultimate masculine, so he's created perfect polarity for you in that moment, and you are relaxed and safe in your feminine. And so imagine going into that same scenario, getting your children to get their shoes and coats on, but you're coming at them from that purely feminine, goddess, queen-like place, and they are the heroes. How does it change the energy?
I completely trustful that they will do what's best.
Yeah. Does that make sense to you, that that's probably going to elicit more of a cooperative response from your kids?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it would.
Yeah. And here's where I really want to be clear about this. I'm not talking about this stuff, because I see parents do this all the time too. I see parents out there with a child who is literally hanging from the ceiling, you know, acting like a complete little monster, and the parents going, "Now, honey, I really just, let's really talk about this. Let's reason this out. And let's just talk about, you know, that's just not the right, that is not what I'm talking about here, okay? That's neither commanding nor inviting. That's just being in this really weird, intellectual, neutral place. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the invitation is to be able, first and foremost, you got to hold your energy. You got to walk in the world. You got to imagine your icon of feminine. You got to be plugged into God for that masculine protection. And then you present that energetically to your children. And here's the thing. If we don't trust our kids, how will they ever become trustworthy? Right? It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. And then if they screw up, if they make a mistake, there are consequences. And we take care of the consequences in a polaritudinally correct fashion. And you keep doing that. And the other thing to remember is you're not going to fix this overnight, right? This is not going to change overnight. This is a process that could take, you know, a year or longer. Who knows? But it's about creating the foundation and building on that foundation on a daily basis, and continuing in your prayer work to ask God to show you exactly how you need to handle this, exactly what you need to do to elicit that hero in those boys. And I think you're going to be shocked. I really do. I think you'll be stunned at how quickly they will respond. And it doesn't mean they'll respond perfectly every time. They're going to spin out of control, and they're going to be in reaction to, remember what I said earlier, kids are psychic sponges. They're picking up on the energies in the world. Think about what our world is like right now. it is a massive amalgam of fears that's just oozing everywhere. Children are literally bouncing off of that on a daily basis. Adults are bouncing off of that. Imagine what kids are going through because they don't have the understanding of it. So know that your kids are going to, you know, they're going to act out. They're going to do things. You can bring them. That's the other cool thing about polarity. When it is reversed or when it is, you know, skewed, you can bring it back to a right place actually rather quickly if you're willing to go from that spiritual, intuitive, instinctual place. And, yeah. You know, as a woman, baby girl, you're hardwired for that. That's the cool thing. That's what, why do you, you know, the whole God made mothers because he couldn't be everywhere at once? Well, guess what? It's so true. The feminine is perfect for that role because of her intuitive emotional capabilities. We've just learned, unfortunately, in our society, we have learned to ignore those aspects of ourselves, see them as weakness, and try and be masculine in everything. And so consequently, we've got boys that are acting out and going, yeah, forget it, I'm not going to pay attention to you. And girls that are like, yeah, whatever, and they're not paying attention either. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And I did actually notice some difference this week, or since the last call where you said that one of the things that, you know, to be in your feminine is to relax. And so yes. I've been saying some divine order affirmations and prayers.
Good.
And then in just being more relaxed, has just made such a huge difference.
How so?
So I think,
be a little specific. I want the listeners to hear this. How has that made a difference? By you being relaxed in your feminine, how's that made a difference for your kids?
It's just so much easier. I don't get so much fighting back and things. Yeah. It just seemed to fall into place much easier, and we get out the door on time because this is when the mornings is when it really kind of escalates because we have to be at school at a certain time.
You
so.
Bet. No, it's so true. It's so true. And the other thing to know from a polarity standpoint is that the masculine will not take challenge from a feminine. He will rebel against it because it's coming from a shadow place in you. If you're challenging your men, you are in your shadow. It's warrior to warrior. And guess what's going to happen? The kids are going to pick up the sword and fight you. That's instinctual. That's automatic. Mm-hmm. If you are inviting, they're going to put the sword down and they're going to cooperate much more openly. Conversely, masculine to masculine needs to be challenging. If the masculine invites, the other masculine is going to go, whatever, and ignore it. So the polarity thing's crucial on this stuff. Stay in your feminine. That's the key. And what's the most important thing for you to be able to stay in your feminine? What do you have to be connected to?
God.
Amen. The ultimate masculine. You bet. So does that help, kiddo?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Yeah. Great, great questions. Honestly, great questions. And I'm not kidding you. I want to hear more about that as we progress with this subject in other shows. I know we're going to be talking more about this because I know people are going to want to know, does it really work? It's really easy to talk about this stuff here, you know, and get these great ideas and then have all of the intellectual proponents come in and go, yeah, well, that, you know, what if that doesn't work or that doesn't make sense, or, you know, it's counterintuitive to what I know as a parent, etc. So it's going to be really good to hear the actual outcomes because we need to know that, you know, we need to see the examples. So Sammy, honey,
yes.
are you good? It's your turn, babe.
It's what? My turn.
It's your turn. What's your question?
Well, so my question, the last show, it was really helpful. You talked about how we sometimes as females in the world, particularly being a single mom, have to employ the masculine.
Yes.
Which I think for many years I had taken to heart and have operated solely from that masculine side.
Right.
So I've tried the last week to really visualize myself hanging up the sword and shield.
Good.
You know, when I get home or really any time that I can do that.
Right.
But I'm still having a hard time knowing what it looks and feels like to be in my feminine core.
Yeah. And that, sweetheart, that is a process. I'm not kidding you. That, and you're already well on your way to creating that reality. And that's where the CSI program's coming in. And I can say that to you because you're stepping on board that coming up here. That's going to help tremendously. You can't come into your true feminine core if you've got belief systems that are in the way of that. And that's part of what you're dealing with. Polarity is instinctual, but what I said earlier holds true every time. Our belief systems will override our instincts every single time. So that's a piece of how that has to shift. And the great news is, anybody out there listening, if you are practicing the art of being in your core to the best of your human ability and you're still struggling, you know you got some belief systems in the way. It's really clear. It's like a neon sign pointing to exactly what needs to be shifted in you. So know that that's a piece of this for you, kiddo. Absolutely, is that we got to get those belief systems out of the way so you can actually instinctively be in that core and not have to sort of quote-unquote figure out what that looks like. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's not an intellectual thing, trust me. And like I say, there's a lot of behavioral stuff we can do, but oh my goodness sakes, people do behavioral stuff all the time and it doesn't mean anything because it's totally empty underneath. The motive to do a behavioral thing is typically to get an end result. Well, polarity is instinctual and automatically gets end results. So, you know, it's really an issue of coming from the inside as opposed to trying to find it on the outside. So shifting the belief systems is going to help a lot. And then as far as employing your masculine with your kids, and Ange, this is also going to probably help a little bit with your question. In specific situations, so let's say, you know, the issue is getting your kids out the door in the morning. So you employ your masculine by being as organized as you can be in the morning, because I'll tell you what, it's pretty amazing. We love to blame our children. Man, I remember that. I remember just flipping out when Kaylee was a kid, going, oh, we gotta go. And she'd look at me and she goes, well, are you ready? And I'd be like, well, no, but I'm trying to get you ready. And she's like, Mom, I can handle it. She was amazing. She always called me on my stuff. It was so awesome. I hated it at the time, but I love her to death for it now. So you be as organized as you possibly can. And even to the point where you sit down with your kids ahead of time and you make this a game. You map it out. What's it going to look like in the morning? It's the challenge. Remember, the masculine grows from challenge. But you're not going to present it as a challenge. You're going to present it as an invitation. You're going to present it as an invitation to the hero to win this particular battle. What's the battle? Out of the house at 7:05. Okay? So you set that up. And you ask the kids to help you, because you need help with this too. Ask the kids to help you organize everything that needs to be organized so that it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the morning. And you crank some tunes and you do some fun stuff. You make it fun, but you also make it this deliberate, intentional quest. Your masculine kids are going to jump on that. I guarantee you they are. They absolutely are. And your feminine, she may not necessarily jump on it, but she's going to want to be creative about it. And she's going to want to figure out ways to make that either more fun or more organized or whatever that is. Invite that in her. Sit down with your kids, make it a game, make it a quest, figure it out ahead of time, and then trust that they are instinctually going to step up to the plate. And hire some angels on this too. Get some angels to help you guys do this. It's amazing how that works. I have to do that all the time. And if I go to the post office, I'm going to hire an angel to make sure I'm not stuck in line for 20 minutes. And it works every time. So add those different components to it, and you're still employing your masculine. You're still getting organized. You're purposeful. You're setting an intention, all that great stuff. But you're allowing, through the feminine, you're allowing your children to step up and participate fully in their course. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that game idea.
Yeah, really important. Sammy, does that help a little bit, honey?
It does help, and we actually have similar issues getting out of the house in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'm going to employ this as well.
You bet, you bet. And one of the most important things, ladies, honestly, this is the time to take ownership. How are you, in fact, adding to the lack of polarity in that family? Own it. Don't judge yourself. Don't blame yourself, but own it. It has to start there. It has to start at the foundation of the family. And if you've got a man in your life who's not polaritudinally correct, get God on that one. Ask God to shift that. It's not your business to change it. You can invite your man to change it, but it's not your responsibility to change it. So get God involved in that, but stick to what you have to do for you to stay in your core and invite your children to be in theirs. And I think you'll be absolutely amazed at what happens. Absolutely amazed. Okay?
Yeah, I guess I could not do so much Facebook in the morning. That would probably
help. That would absolutely help. I guarantee you that would help. Yeah, no kidding. So there you go. You're owning it. I love it. So we are once again out of time, girls. Can't even believe how fast this hour has gone. This has just been amazing. Thank you so much. Becky, thanks for coming in today. It's great to actually see your face this time.
Good.
Liz, Angie, Sammy, darlings, thank you so much for calling, and I really appreciate you being on the line with me. This has been so wonderful. Don't even know what the show is going to be about next week, so check the Facebook fan page. I'll tell you what it's going to be about. It's going to be something fun. We'll kick into something great. Barb, thank you so much for everything. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Come see me next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.